Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, August 26, 2015, episode 11.06, the preseason week 3 preview show. The first 2 weeks of the preseason are in the books, and here comes the ever-important week 3 dress rehearsal. That's what most teams call it, because you're going to be hard-pressed to find any starters playing in that final preseason game. I'll talk about some of those matchups, but the injury bug has reared its ugly head over the weekend, knocking out some big names and having players and fans alike asking, why is there even a preseason? Good question. We'll debate that. Other things coming out of week 2 preseason games, Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz have a beef with the Jaguars defense. The Rams take shots at T-Sizzle, which makes coach John Harbaugh come to his defense. And Aaron Rodgers has a problem with these meaningless, that's right, he said meaningless about 20 times, games. I'll discuss some of those big injuries. Plus, Michael Vick is a Pittsburgh Steeler. The Houston Texans have decided on their starting quarterback. Michael Bennett, you know, the guy that yelled at the reporter after the Super Bowl, I'll play that for you, calls out QBs. The Patriots make a splash with not one, but two big moves, and the San Francisco 49ers have a good old boy. Finally, I'll end the show talking about Chris Carter's shocking advice to rookie players at last year's Rookie Symposium. There's plenty to go over, so let's just chomp it in.
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, going to do a little bit of housekeeping here to get started. First of all, if you've not received an email, Survivor Football is back. That's right, the weekly Pick One Team to Win contest starting up again. Last year's winner took over $900. Not bad at all. So check out the Facebook page or Twitter for a link, or head out to www.nflrnr.com to sign up. Also, the weekly Pick'em page is alive and ready. This is just a friendly weekly pick all the games, see how you do. Last year, I was just shy of 70% overall. I picked 69.43% of the games correctly during the regular season. That's not bad. But this week, this year, you can pick against me. I'm also going to use this as the place where I will pick a weekly fan to put their picks up against me. Last year, I beat the fans. It went all the way pretty much down to the wire in the NFC Championship game. I took Seattle. Meanwhile, the fans took Green Bay. And with some magic, it's a miracle, Seattle came up with the win and gave me the win over the fans in the challenge game for the season. It's going to be fun to do that again this year. So if you're interested in putting your picks up against me, make sure you join the weekly Pick'em page. Make your picks every week and shoot me an email if you want to be a fan this season. Also, there are just 5 fantasy football spots left, 3 in the hoodie leagues and 2 in the t-shirt leagues. If you want to play, it's not too late. Go out to NFLRNR.com, hit fantasy football, and sign up to claim one of those last 5 spots. Later on in the show, I will spin the show donor random wheel of fun. This week's prize is a mini fathead tradable collectible of Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan. So I'm excited to continue to do that for all of you great show donors who donate to keep the show going. I really, really appreciate it. So let's just get going. We'll start with news, and the big news is injuries. The injury bug was alive and in full force this past weekend and carried on into this week. We'll start with the Green Bay Packers, where wide receiver Jordy Nelson tore his ACL in his right knee. We're kind of saying that he tore his ACL. All the Packers said was that it was a significant knee injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the season, but I don't know of any other knee injuries other than torn ACLs or MCLs, so that's what I'm going with. The Packers are going to be hard-placed to replace this guy. Look, Last year, he led the team with 98 receptions, 1,519 yards, and 13 TDs. That's huge. I don't understand it. Just sit back for a second and think of those numbers. Too shy of 100, 1,500-plus yards, and 13 TDs. Let that sink in for a second. And that's what the Green Bay Packers just lost this weekend in a meaningless game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I say meaningless because quarterback Aaron Rodgers had some problems with the injury, and he himself called the preseason games meaningless, and I think he used the word meaningless or a form of the word meaningless about 20 times in his interview post-game. He wasn't very happy, and he shouldn't be. He lost his number one guy, and that is bad. I mean, even if we say Randall Cobb will step up to fulfill those numbers of Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb was no slouch last year either. He had 91 catches for 1,287 yards and 12 TDs. I mean, almost just like Jordy Nelson. So if Randall Cobb steps up and gets the 100 receptions and the 1,500 yards and the 13 TDs, who's replacing Cobb and his 91 catches, almost 1,300 yards, and 12 TDs? You still have to replace those yards. Devontae Adams, is that what you're looking for? He's a second-year guy, looks pretty good, has looked pretty good in the preseason. That is a significant amount of offensive prowess that you lost in Jordy Nelson, and I'm not sure the Green Bay Packers have anyone on their roster right now who can step in and put up those kinds of numbers. They're going to have to look at their tight end, Richard Rodgers. Maybe they're going to have to start throwing the ball out of the backfield to Eddie Lacy to see if maybe he can replace or help replace some of those numbers. It is a big blow to the Green Bay Packers, any way you slice it. I know Packer fans are saying next man up and here we go and we can do it. I still think the Green Bay Packers will be good enough to take care of that division and win that division. But when it comes down to the playoffs, I'm not sure they're going to have enough offensive firepower to get it done without a Jordy Nelson. That is really, really bad that happened. And the fact that the way it happened, it's just that he didn't even get hit by anyone. Anyone hit him. He caught the ball. He landed awkwardly. It was a pretty bad kind of plant that he made on the grass, and he immediately went down to the ground before anybody tackled him. So it wasn't like it was contact was involved. It was just kind of one of those freak accidents that took him out, and that's pretty bad. You know what? Aaron Rodgers, seriously, when I say that he said meaningless, he said that the preseason should be cut in half. That's one. His quote was, "It's difficult to lose a guy like that in a meaningless game," he said after the 24-19 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then later on, he repeated again saying, "This game doesn't mean anything." I think a lot of players around the league probably want to eliminate it. Yeah, I understand they want to eliminate preseason games. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson were doing out there that late in the game. Go in there, do a series, sit down. That's what most of the teams are doing right now with their starters. I mean, I don't think I saw Tony Romo but for three plays in the entire preseason so far. Dez Bryant has yet to see a field in the preseason. So some teams are just not taking any chances with their starters. The problem here is with the owners and the league. The owners and the league need to figure out something to do with these preseason games. Look, I know as a past season ticket holder for the Dallas Cowboys, you pay for 10 games. You pay the same price. I know people are saying, oh, they're discounted prices in the preseason. No. If you're a season ticket holder, you are asked to buy 10 games, two preseason games, and eight home games, all at the exact same price. They're not any cheaper for the preseason. Now, do you think the owners want to lose two games? I mean, probably, okay, so if it goes to one, you'll get at least one home game. You think they want to lose a home game? Do you know how much money the owners make on one home game, even if it is the preseason? Now, I know I've been watching some of these football games, and the fans are kind of starting to now tell the league, hey, we're not interested in these crappy preseason games. They're just not good football. We see a bunch of backups. We don't see any starters. We don't want to pay full price to come to a preseason game. I understand it. I totally get it. But the flip side of that is there's a lot of young players that need the reps. They need to try and make a name for themselves. They need to come out there and perform big and show their coaches that this is a guy they want on their football team. So how do you do that? How do you combat that? I say, don't play your starters. It's a meaningless preseason game, as Aaron Rodgers said. He shouldn't be on the field. And as a matter of fact, I think the Packers even came out and said that his work in the preseason may be done. I don't know if they've said that or someone in the media said that, but I think McCarthy says that it's an early decision, and we'll have to make an early decision on the time we put our players on the field, whether it's practice games. It's done with risk assessment. Every decision that has been made to this point, I'm very comfortable with the assessment of that risk. And guess what? I don't know if Aaron Rodgers needs any more reps. I don't know if he'll be out there anymore until the final preseason. He's certainly not going to play the final preseason game, which is against the New Orleans Saints. He won't be in that one. But he may not even play this week. Although this is what we called the dress rehearsal earlier on the show. This is where teams like to come out, play their starters for maybe the whole first half, maybe even the first series of the third half, to kind of assess if they got a rhythm, if they could, you know, go out there and play three quarters of football. I just don't see the Green Bay Packers taking any more risks with any more of their starters. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb and Eddie Lacy in the starting offensive line go out there for one series, and whatever happens, they sit down immediately after that. I think that's how a lot of teams might play it. Other injuries, you know, that I continued. I ranted on that last week, injuries getting out of control. I want to throw some numbers at you. The Dallas Cowboys lost cornerback Orlando Scandrick with a torn ACL and MCL just a couple days ago. Just today, the Washington Redskins lost linebacker Junior Gallette, the guy that they acquired from the New Orleans Saints. He tore his Achilles. He'll be out for the rest of the season. That brings the list of players who are out with a torn ACL or bicep or Achilles before the season even begins to a staggering 27. That's 27 players already out before week one. Now, to give you some other numbers and put it in perspective, last year in 2014, there were 22 people that were out with a bad ACL before week one of the NFL season. And in 2013, there were 31. So this is in between, a lot more than last year, but certainly not the highest. But we still have 2 weeks of preseason to play. So it could surpass what happened in 2013. Oh, incidentally, by the way, 2012 was the year where CBA, is that 2011 or 2012? I got to check that up. I think it was 2011. When the new CBA was written, was agreed upon, was ratified, and they decided to stop the amount of padded practices and how much players were allowed to hit each other during practice. It was those years. I'm actually, right now, I do have got a researcher who is looking up season-ending injuries prior to 2011. That's what we're trying to find out. What were the numbers prior to 2011? If we find out that, you know, in 2010, in 09, 08, 07, 06, 05, if we find out in those years, preseason, season-ending injuries were in the 20s to 30s, then nothing really has changed. But if we find out that those numbers are significantly less and they come back and they're in the single digits to teens, and now we're getting upwards of 25 to 30, there might be something to the fact that there's not enough hitting going on during practices, and that CBA may actually be hurting the players as opposed to actually helping them out, which they thought they were agreeing to. Just some interesting numbers. We're still working on the rest of those numbers, and we'll hope to have them here before the season starts. But staggering that 27 players are already out before the season even starts. Let's go to the New York Giants, where Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr. have a beef with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Giants had a little preseason game, and Victor Cruz wasn't very happy with some of the Jaguars players. He said that he was unhappy last week because he felt some Jaguars DBs were gunning for Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm like, what do you mean gunning? Can you let me know what that is? He says, it was sad to see players go down like that because I felt like I couldn't help him. He's talking about Odell B. He couldn't help him. Couldn't go out there on the field, run routes with him, take some of the pressure off him, things like that. Of course, Cruz didn't play. That's what he's talking about. But he felt that even towards the end of last season, he felt that there were some defensive players that were going for Beckham, not really making a play on the ball, but making a play on the body. He said, and even Beckham backed this up. Beckham said, instead, they're going towards me. I know it's part of the game, and I'm not going to be one to sit there and complain about it, but it's just like, man to man, if you have a chance to make a play, make a play. Don't make the play or come at me low or try to blow me up. And that's what Beckham was talking about. He thinks that some players are trying to take him out, trying to blow him up, and get him out of the game. Now, yeah, I don't ever condone players taking cheap shots to injure players. But I've learned, because I probably was a little naive. I showed my naivete on this issue last year and a couple years ago, where I was like, no, players aren't trying to injure guys. Well, you know what? They are. And the fact that these guys are calling the Jaguars out, saying, yeah, they were going low, they were trying to take me out, they're not making a play on the ball, they're making a play on my body. You know, it's tough. And, you know, folks are saying, well, they're the New York Giants. You don't care. You want them to get hit and you want them to get hurt. That's not true. I think I've said on this show many times, I would much rather face a football team where all of the starters are there, all of the starters are healthy and present. That way, when you whip up on that team, there's no excuses like, well, so-and-so was hurt, and so-and-so wasn't there, and so-and-so left the game in the second quarter. There's none of that. You get none of that. We whooped you. We whipped you fair and square. You had everybody on the field. That's what I want. And I think I've been pretty clear about that. So I don't want anybody getting hurt. I want to face your best. And Jeff and I used to have arguments because in baseball, we want their worst pitcher out there. We don't want their best pitcher. We want to win the game. I understand. I want to win the game too, but I want to face people at their best. So I don't want players purposefully going out trying to injure someone else on the football field. I want you to hit them hard. I want you to tackle them the way you're supposed to. If you could get a good stick in there, get a good stick in there. As long as it's legal and within the rules and you're hitting them where you're supposed to, I'm all for it. I say go for it. This leads me to another same thing. This second week of the preseason, the Philadelphia Eagles played the Baltimore Ravens, and the Eagles took offense at T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, who hit Sam Bradford. They say that he hit him low. He was going for his knees, and all Sam Bradford did was hand the ball off. Now, here's the way it played. If you haven't seen it, Suggs got flagged for it. Bradford was in shotgun formation. He kind of moved a little to the side to hand off the ball. And Terrell Suggs, like he did, the quarterback's a runner. He's moving out of the pocket. He hands off the ball. Is it a read option? I don't know. But still, he's there. He could pull the ball out. And so I went for the quarterback. And Terrell Suggs went for the quarterback. Knocked him down, even though Bradford handed the ball off to the running back. So the Eagles were all up in arms. Oh, he's horrible. He's such a dirty player. I think Jason Peters, the left tackle of the Eagles, actually described Suggs as a dirty player, saying he's a dirty player, and he's pretty sure Suggs planned to hit Bradford's surgically repaired knees before the game even started. How does he know that? How does Jason Peters know that? All right, so there it goes. Then Chip Kelly came out and said, look, it was just a handoff. Not every shotgun run is a zone read play. We don't even run any zone reads, which, come on, really, Chip Kelly? Your offense, you're trying to tell me you don't run any zone reads? please. It's like, we don't run much zone reads as everyone thinks we do. I thought the interpretation on the field was correct. Well, okay, that's what he thought. But guess what? The NFL comes out and says, Terrell Suggs' hit on Sam Bradford was legal, and the officials erred in flagging the Raiders linebacker for roughing the passer. They shouldn't have done that. Sam Bradford became a runner. It's the read option. And the linebacker has the right to hit the quarterback if he doesn't know if he's going to keep the ball or hand it off. That's the rule. They interpreted it. It was legal. Everything's legal, right? Well, Chip Kelly took offense to that. They're wrong. It was perfectly called on the field. He should not have hit Sam Bradford. He shouldn't have gone low. He went low, too. Well, that's when Harbaugh got involved. John Harbaugh, coach of the Baltimore Ravens, said, hey. You know, when you start popping off about somebody's character, you cross the line. That's not really something that we would respect. And he's talking about he's not going to respect the Philadelphia Eagles if they're calling their guy a dirty player because he did what he thought was legal. The guy's in his own read. I don't know if he's going to hand it off or keep it. I'm going to hit the quarterback because I got a defender whose responsibility is the running back. Oh, my gosh. You know what, guys? This is what preseason brings. It's like little crybabies pointing back and forth. You did that. Why did you hit me here? He's going to get hit, people. This is football, and he's a quarterback, and the rule states if he is moving outside of the pocket, he becomes a runner, and if you do this read option where you can keep the football or you can hand it off, you can't have it both ways. Pete Carroll got involved saying, yeah, they should be flagged. They shouldn't be able to hit the quarterback, protect the quarterback. Really? Why should we protect the quarterback if they're running? If they're running, they're free game. They're a runner. They can get hit. And if you run the read option, such as Seattle does with Russell Wilson, such as the Chip Kelly Philadelphia Eagles, your quarterback is at risk of, guess what? Getting hit. That is what they do in the game of football. They hit quarterbacks. Everybody who plays defense, you know what they want to do? Hit a quarterback. And if you move your quarterback out of the pocket, and he is going to either A, throw the ball, or B, hand it off to a running back, the linebacker can't decide immediately what he's doing. If he's holding the ball out there, but he can pull it out any minute, you know what? Go for the quarterback. Let your defense behind you handle the running back. I don't think Suggs did anything wrong. The NFL is telling me Suggs didn't do anything wrong. I don't know what the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly and Jason Peters and Pete Carroll are talking about. Let them play football. Enough with the quarterbacks. They get plenty of protection when they're in the pocket. You don't want your quarterback to get hit? Keep him in the pocket. It's plain and simple. You don't want Bradford to have to worry about his surgically repaired knees? Keep him in the pocket. Plain and simple. Easy peasy. That's what it is. It's really easy. Keep him in the pocket. You don't have to worry about someone taking shots at him. Once he lets go of the ball, they can't hit him no more. And that's the protections that the NFL has for the quarterbacks. The minute you start moving him out, you roll him out, you do a read option, he starts becoming a runner, guess what? He can get hit. And that's exactly what happened, and I don't think that rule should change. I hope they don't change it. I know that Pete Carroll is constantly lobbying for that to get changed. But you know what? Just because you want a read option and you want to keep Russell Wilson healthy doesn't mean that it should get changed for you. If the quarterback's going to move out of the pocket, I say go ahead and hit him like he's a runner. All right. Whew, that's a lot of stuff going on from this weekend's football games. Let's hit segment three and start talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right. The Steelers have been a team that have been unfortunate with season-ending injuries. This one was backup quarterback Bruce Gradkowski placed on the IR. So they had to go elsewhere looking for a quarterback, and guess who they brought in? The Pittsburgh Steelers signed Michael Vick to a one-year deal. And this wouldn't be a big deal. I would just usually just say, hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers signed Michael Vick. But there was such outrage, people. I am talking about people were complaining that Michael Vick got a job again in the NFL. And that the Pittsburgh Steelers, were gonna sign this guy, and there's protesters, You know, there are people posting stuff on social media, speaking out against the Steelers for signing Mike Vick. And I saw some folks who were going as far as they were throwing their Steelers gear in the trash can. Stealing them, throwing them in the trash can, seriously, throwing them away, saying that we thought the Steelers were better than that, and just throw all of the stuff in the trash. And I'm saying to myself, why? Why is there such animosity towards the Steelers signing Michael Vick? In case you haven't noticed, since his fall from grace in Atlanta and the despicable things that he did, and I say despicable as a dog owner, who I've got two little puppies that I love very much. If you're not on Twitter, go check it out. I posted it. Happy National Dog Day. Posted my picture with me rolling around on the floor with my two dogs. They're jumping on me. I love dogs, and I think what Michael Vick did was heinous, and it was horrible. But guess what, folks? He was found guilty. He went to jail. He served jail time and was away from football for a while. Then came back, was hired by the Philadelphia Eagles, played there for a little while. I think he played with the Jets for a little while. Now he's away from football. And guess what? The Pittsburgh Steelers need a quarterback, and they come calling. So this man has paid his debt to society as far as the legal system is concerned. It's not like he continues to go out there and harm animals. He's not doing that anymore. As a matter of fact, he's going around talking to people to not do that. He's already been on two other teams, so the league has embraced him again. And now the Pittsburgh Steelers sign him, and people are freaking out here. One sign said, "Would you let Michael Vick near your dogs?" I'm like, okay, first of all, probably not. No. But what does that have to do with him playing football for the Pittsburgh Steelers? The Steelers don't have dogs running around in the stadium. Last time I checked, it'll be interesting to see what happens when he goes to Cleveland, to goes to the dog pound and face the Cleveland Browns. But that's another story. There's no dogs that he's going to be with. He's playing football on a team. And by the way, he's already played on two other teams. I don't understand the disdain that has been coming out for Michael Vick being signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. there's a petition. Seriously, a petition that has 15,000 signatures to get Michael Vick off the Pittsburgh Steelers roster. Seriously. The petition reads, I got to read this to you. Michael Vick is a convicted felon and no class piece of blank. I won't say that word. He is also a terrible QB, which is why he has no team. Let's unite as Steelers fans and NFL fans. Stop him from playing on our team. Steelers fans united. Signed to keep Vick from ever wearing the coveted Steelers uniform. And as of 4 p.m. Eastern time today, that petition had 15,463 people who had signed it. Oh, my goodness. I can't. On a day like today, I don't know, especially a lot of you who are not in America, saw a news article. There was some pretty devastating news reports of some murders that happened in the States. With some of the stuff that has been going on lately in America of people killing other people, the kind of outrage that people get for a player who did wrong, knows he did wrong, was punished for what he did wrong, tried to atone for his sins by going out and helping teach people what not to do. It's tough. It's tough to see some of the harsh words that are being written about. Look, whether you like the guy or not, I think he's a better option than Lindley, which is what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be stuck with now that Gradkowski's on the IR. So why wouldn't you want him to back up Big Ben? Big Ben has a propensity for getting hurt. When's the last time he started 16 games in a season? So you got to want a veteran quarterback who can help your team. Why not Michael Vick? Because he hurt you because of something that he did. I don't know. What was it? 2007? It's 2007, people. He's spent time in jail. Give it a rest. It's a good signing by the Pittsburgh Steelers. They'll have a veteran to back up Big Ben when and if he goes down. I say not if, but when, because he's going to go down for at least a game or two. You'll have someone who'll be better than what you had previously. And that's all that is. Speaking of quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks, the Houston Texans have decided on their starting QB. Once again, people, if you are not watching Hard Knocks with the Houston Texans, come on. Go pay, what is it, $11.99 a month or whatever for HBO Now, so that you can watch HBO shows whenever, however you want. It's a good show. I thought, you know, I was poo-pooing it in the beginning. I was seriously poo-pooing the choice of the Houston Texans to be on Hard Knocks. I didn't think it was going to be good, but it has been a good show. Brian Hoyer over Ryan Mallett. That is the decision from head coach O'Brien. O'Brien actually calls both guys in, actually calls all the quarterbacks into a room. He sits there, he talks, he tells them, you know, I'm the head coach. I'm the one who gets paid to make the decisions. I'm the one who gets paid to make sure that I'm riding this team in the right direction and getting them focused. I've made a decision on who the starter is going to be. It's going to be Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett. He says, I want you all to continue to be professional. You got to work. He tells Ryan Mallett, hey, look, you know, we're not saying that you know, we're putting a short leash on Brian, but, you know, we're not going to let it go very far. If, you know, we go many games where we're not getting it done, we might make a change, so you may have to be ready to come in. And then he turns to Brian Hoyer and he says, look, Brian, you know, not to put any pressure on you or anything, and don't, you know, look behind, but, you know, you still got work to do. You got to get it done. And I think that's the right choice. Brian Hoyer showed that he's a decent quarterback. Forget what Michael Bennett says. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he has shown he has looked better than Ryan Mallett. And who am I to disagree with O'Brien? He knows both of these quarterbacks. He was an assistant in New England when both of those guys were backups over there. So he knows what he's got. And he just thinks right now Brian Hoyer is better. And that's the decision he's made. Ryan Mallett kind of, you know, said that he was angry and disappointed. And, of course, he is. Who wouldn't be? But the Brian Hoyer era in Houston has begun. I wish him well. Not sure how that team's going to do. Defensively, they look pretty good. They look pretty good defensively. Offensively, you know, let's see. Chris Polk, Alfred Blue. There's just a lot of unknowns, especially at wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins, that's really their guy that they're going with. Just going to be interesting in Houston. I'm glad they're on Hard Knocks because you're starting to learn a lot about the players on that football team. I think it's pretty good. Now, speaking of Brian Hoyer, and I said the Michael Bennett things, let's talk about Michael Bennett and how he likes to rip on QBs. Now, if you don't remember who Michael Bennett is, he's the player for the Seattle Seahawks. And I want to play you this from last season. After the Super Bowl was over, I was walking around to see who I would, you know, interview. And I kind of passed by Michael Bennett's booth. He was up at the podium, and I just hit record, and he starts ripping on this reporter, and this is what he tells the reporter after the Super Bowl loss to the New England Patriots.
You probably never played football. You probably never done anything physical in your life besides pick up a microphone. But when you're out there, it's a battle.
You probably never done anything physical in your life besides pick up a microphone. Yeah, I always think it's pretty crazy when a player thinks that he can
ridicule or make fun of what a reporter does because he asks a question that hurts. And, you know, they just lost a Super Bowl. That hurts in itself. But you don't have to go off and rip a reporter because he asks you a question about the game. He didn't like it, and so he's at it again. This time, instead of ripping reporters, he's ripping quarterbacks. Michael Bennett said that Sam Bradford is mediocre. He was upset at this call. He basically said that Sam Bradford is average and overpaid. He's like, this was, and I quote, quarterbacks get protected more than other players. I mean, he gets hit in his knees, and he's about to cry. They hit me in my legs. Everybody gets hit in their legs. Every play, somebody tries to hit me in my legs. So what makes him different? What makes his life better than mine? I've got kids. I've got stuff I like to do on the weekends. But because he gets hit in his legs, he gets a flag? He gets up with a sad face like the world just ended because he got hit? I mean, you got hit in the NFL game. Who cares? Get back and be up and go do your job. Good job. Get back up and be like, good job. Yeah, like a quarterback's ever going to tell someone who tackles him, good job. But that's it. That was his rip. he also said that quarterbacks make a lot of money in the NFL. His quote was, there's some mediocre quarterbacks in the NFL that make a lot of money. You take a guy like Sam Bradford. He's never played really in the last 3 years, but he's made more money than most guys in the NFL. Quarterback is the only position in the NFL where you could be mediocre and get paid. At every other position, you can't be mediocre. I mean, that's tough. I mean, he's just coming out and he's like, dude is mediocre. And there's a lot of mediocre guys. I think he cited Ryan Tannehill. And he also, he said about Brian Hoyer. This is what he said about Brian Hoyer. He said, so they come out and they say that, breaking news, Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. It's like, that's not breaking news. It's like, that's not even news. Well, technically, it is news because the Texans hadn't named a starting quarterback. They had two guys who were competing for the job, and one won it. So that's breaking news. Probably not to him, but it is. But I understand. Quarterbacks do get paid a lot of money. There are some quarterbacks that probably don't deserve to be making what they're making. I'd say more than half the quarterbacks are making more money than Bennett ever will. But if you keep popping up like this, it's really interesting. This guy just is not happy. I guess you're not happy. Dude, you've won a Super Bowl. You almost won a second one. You're on a pretty good team. Why are you popping off and just talking smack just to do it? All right. Let's move on to the New England Patriots, who decided to make a couple of roster moves. So the New England Patriots weren't happy at the wide receiver position, so they went out and made a big splash, bringing in ex-Colt wide receiver Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne says he's happy to be there. He actually has signed a one-year deal that could be worth $3 million. I mean, this wasn't like he's coming in for the league minimum for veterans. He's actually making a pretty good chump. It's not chump change, anyways. He's making a good salary. But a lot of Colts fans were upset at this. They were like, oh, my God. Reggie, why would you do that to us? Why would you go to the enemy? Well, Adam Vinatieri did it. He went from New England to Indianapolis. You didn't want Reggie Wayne anymore. Obviously, the Colts didn't offer him any money. So he went and found a new team. It just happens to be the New England Patriots, who happens to be your hated rival, who kind of whipped you in the AFC Championship game last year. That's all it is. You know, so now he sees that maybe he can go win a championship. And actually, Reggie's pretty much said, I'm here to try and win a championship. That's why he went to New England. They made him an offer. The Colts didn't, and there you have it. The other big move that the New England Patriots did is they made a trade with the Detroit Lions. They acquired offensive tackle Michael Williams from Detroit for an undisclosed future draft pick. And to do so, they released defensive back Jimmy Jean. Michael Williams, this signing and this trade lets you know that they are still not comfortable with the offensive line in front of Tom Brady. Brady's getting older. He's not as mobile as he used to be. And the one thing that they can't have is Tom Brady getting hurt. Look, he's already going to miss possibly the first four games of the season. And now if he gets hurt and has to miss other games, I'm not sure you've been watching Jimmy Garoppolo in the preseason. He looks like everyone else the Patriots have brought in, the Matt Castles and Mallets of the world. He looks pretty good, but he's just not consistent, being accurate. I know that he completed something like 74, 75% of his passes in the last preseason game, but if you saw the preseason game, he didn't throw anything deep. They were just long extended handoffs. That's what they were. He wasn't throwing anything down the field. And at some point in a regular season game, you're going to have to throw the ball down the field. You're going to have to do that. So I'm not sure they're very comfortable with Garoppolo. They're anxiously awaiting the resolution to this appeal that they have with the judge. And I shouldn't say not appeal, whether the judge's going to vacate the suspension or not. That's just what the New England Patriots are waiting for. But this acquisition of Michael Williams kind of lets them shore up their offensive line for when they do get Tom Brady back behind center, that offensive line will be better able to serve him and protect him. So two signings there for New England. Reggie Wayne, I like. They certainly could use a veteran wide receiver in there. And then this Michael Williams for their offensive line is certainly going to help their running game as well, because if Brady has to miss the first four games of the season, running the football is something they're going to do a lot with, and this will certainly help. Okay, the San Francisco 49ers, what am I going to do with you?
Just a good old boy.
That's what they are.
Never meaning no harm.
You know they never mean no harm.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day he was born.
Oh, my gosh. Santa Clara, California prosecutors Wednesday filed a sexual battery charge, misdemeanor, against San Francisco 49er linebacker Ahmad Brooks. This is over an incident with an intoxicated woman at a house party in December of last year. They also announced that Ray McDonald, who used to be with the 49ers, was also being indicted a felony rape charge involving the same woman at that same party. At an after party at McDonald's home in San Jose. I don't even know what to say, man. I've been pretty clear on this show about how you should treat and respect women. Getting a woman drunk, taking her to a house party and having your way with her is not that way. So McDonald, obviously, he's gone from the league. He's not with the team. He's looking at 8 years to I don't know how long he could face in jail. Brooks, if convicted, is going to have to register as a sex offender. It could face 6 months or more in jail. The 49ers have sent Brooks home back to California. They are in Denver to play the Denver Broncos for a preseason game on Saturday. They said their statement, they're aware of the situation. They're going to do some more investigating of their own. But as far as Brooks is concerned, they sent him back home to California, and he was not going to play in the game. Furthermore, Brooks was supposed to turn himself in late tonight, and McDonald had already surrendered himself. He was released on a $100,000 bail, $100,000 bail. He was released, and I'm sure the same is going to happen to Brooks once he gives himself up. But this is a bad story. It's a bad story, one, not just for the San Francisco 49ers, because, look, they were with Ray McDonald, and they gave Ray McDonald kind of like all the chances in the world that he could possibly get. But now another guy who's actually still on your active roster, and these two guys are now convicted of sexual battery and rape. And this is at a time where the league is just not having this nonsense. I mean, you just don't know how to be men. You could be great on a football field, but when you get off the football field, if you are just horrible with other people, you don't deserve to be on the football field. I'm almost getting to the point where if these guys are found even remotely guilty, they shouldn't play anymore. They shouldn't be on the football field ever again. The commissioner and the NFL continue to use playing in the NFL is a privilege. It's not a right. Yeah, but, you know, you give that privilege to guys who rape women, guys who hit women. You just, that's not a privilege you should be given those type of people. And this one made me a little sick to my stomach. Hit both the guys from the same team at a party and then an after party. So it wasn't enough that one of them made the mistake to do this to a woman. Another one had to do it at an after party to the exact same woman. That's pretty horrible. I hope that San Francisco 49ers, unlike all of the chances that they gave Ray McDonald, take this seriously and do something to Ahmad Brooks sooner rather than later. Yeah, they're going to keep him away from the team for now, but let's see how long they allow this to go on. Oh, speaking of bad things and bad advice, I'm going to play you, if you haven't heard, Chris Carter. Yeah, that's right, Hall of Famer Chris Carter, wide receiver of the Minnesota Vikings for all those years, in the Hall of Fame, now works for ESPN. Video surfaced of Chris Carter giving advice to rookies. This was last year's rookie class, not this rookie class. Last year's rookie class, and he gets Teddy Bridgewater up on stage to talk to him. Let me play that clip for you. It's about a minute long. Listen to this.
And just in case y'all not gonna decide to do the right thing, if y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew. Teddy, come here, man. Teddy, come here, man. Come here, man. Come here, bro.
At this point, he brings Teddy Bridgewater up on stage now, with him.
If they gonna keep rolling on Teddy's bankroll, because each one of y'all in business for yourself, this right here is Teddy Bridgewater Inc.
Incorporated.
That's him. Now, every dime that come into Teddy, all right, is going to be earned by him and this body. All right? Now, I let my homeboys know, y'all want to keep rolling like this? Then I need to know who's going to be the fall guy, who's going to be driving, because y'all not going to all do the right stuff now. All right? So I got to teach y'all how to get around all this stuff, too. If you're going to have a crew, one of them fools got to know he going to jail. We'll get him out.
We'll get him out.
Now, the other voice you're hearing there is none other than Warren Sapp. And we know how Warren Sapp is no longer on NFL Network for some things that he did. So Chris Carter and Warren Sapp are on stage. They're talking to rookies now. These are young men who've just entered the league. And he says that we know you aren't all going to do the right stuff. So let me show you how to get around it. Have a fall guy in your crew. Because if they want to keep rolling with you and you know you're the one who's making all the money, have a fall guy in your crew. And that will be what we do. and we'll get you out of jail. Not the best advice, Chris Carter. And the fact that this video was up on the NFL website's, you know, rookie symposium was unbelievable. I don't know, as a matter of fact, what's worse, Chris Carter giving that awful advice or the NFL putting it up on their website. That's just bad. And then to actually get Teddy Bridgewater, first round pick of the Minnesota Vikings, bring him up on stage, say this is Teddy Bridgewater Inc., and if you have a crew, find out who the fall guy is going to be so that you know which fool going to jail. That's the advice. Now, instead of giving the advice, look, you are your own brand now. You are Teddy Bridgewater, the individual and the brand. And your brand, you have to make yourself be bigger than you are. You have to take accountability for your actions. You have to make sure that you aren't doing the crazy little stupid things that you did when you were in high school and college with your crew. You have to keep your crew in check. Now, I'm not saying be a saint and you can't drink and you can't party and you can't have friends over. Do it in the privacy of your own home, but make sure that when you do it, you're not inviting people in here that are going to start craziness. It's time for you to grow up. You are now a person who plays in the National Football League. Represent the National Football League and your team, in this case, Teddy, the Minnesota Vikings. And anything that you do that is illegal or comes off as being bad is not only going to affect the Minnesota Vikings, the National Football League, it's going to affect you, Teddy Bridgewater, and your brand. And the minute people start seeing that you don't respect your brand, you don't respect your team, you don't respect your league, that's when the ship comes down, it all comes falling down, and then you'll have to go back and hang out with the crew and do all the crazy, stupid things you did when you were younger. And if you want to avoid that, you have to take responsibility for your life and start becoming a man. And that's what should have been said instead of, yeah, man, you got to have a fall guy. Just unreal. Unreal. You know what? I've been pretty negative on the show today. I've had a lot of rants. I've ranted on a lot of things. I've kind of disagreed with a lot of the things the league and the players are saying and doing. But you know what? It's time for some fun. And to do that, it's time for the show donor Random Wheel of Fun to give away a prize to you cool folks that continue to donate to the show. So, show donors, you should have your number by now. If you don't, feel free to email me, steven@rarn.net, and I will make sure that you get it. Going out to random.org and picking the numbers, generate. And this week it is number 18, Ian Mercer. Ian Mercer from England, Surrey. Ian, thank you very much once again for your contributions to the show. I really appreciate it. You have won this week's mini fat head collect. Here it is. I'm actually holding it. If I were on Periscope right now, I'd show it to you, but I'm not. Matt Ryan, quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, mini fat head. I will make sure that we've got a good address for you, and I will send it out. Thank you very much, everyone, for continuing to donate to the show. It's really awesome that you guys keep me going. Now, finally, we'll just talk about week three of the preseason. This is the game you guys are going to want to watch. I know some of the games have been unwatchable recently, but week three starts with three games on Friday night. The Patriots go down to Carolina to face the Panthers. Lions are in Jacksonville, and the Tennessee Titans head to KC to face the Chiefs. That's on Friday. Most of the matchups are on Saturday, 11 matchups, as a matter of fact. On Saturday, that's 11 games Saturday and Saturday night. Of those, some to watch. The Philadelphia Eagles are in Green Bay. Going to be curious to see what the Packers do with their starters there. And we also want to see if the Philadelphia Eagles can keep their high-scoring offense going. That'll be fun to watch. The New York Jets and the New York Giants battle it out for supremacy of New York. And another good game, the Adrian Peterson Minnesota Vikings go down to Dallas to play the Cowboys, and Peterson might see if Jerry Jones has a one last final ditch trade offer for Minnesota so he can keep them there in Texas. The final two games on Sunday, the Houston Texans roll into the Big Easy to play the New Orleans Saints. That's right, the Big Easy. Big Easy to play the New Orleans Saints. And Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals go back to Oakland to play the Raiders, and Carson Palmer will try and show the Raiders what they let go at QB. He's actually been pretty good when he stays healthy, and I think he is the healthiest he's been in a while. This may be a good year to be an Arizona Cardinal fan. Those are all the Week 3 preseason games. I hope that for your sake, your teams come out of Week 3 of the preseason healthy. That's what I want for everyone, health. Next week, instead of a Week 4 preseason, I will do the annual prediction show. James, I got to call James. I got to see if James is going to have our NFL prediction sheet available this season. I'm pretty excited to use that always, but he may be busy. So I'll check out for Mr. Reese to see if that'll be available. Fantasy football leagues, 5 spots left. Drafts start this weekend. I cannot wait. It's going good. Thank you very much for listening to NFL Rants and Raves. You've been listening to me, Steven Miranda. I hope you guys have a good week. Have a great week 3 of the preseason. Hope your teams do what you want them to do. And let's ease off of Mike Vick and Terrell Suggs. They're not bad guys. They just want to play football. Just like we all want to do. Or want to watch, at least. I'm Steven Miranda. This has been NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.